perspective on living.
Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and before I bring tonight's guest on, I want to thank Dr. Len Horowitz for the plug and welcome any listeners of his Insight Hour to the show. If this is your first time here, we do talk about the truth, and we talk about all sorts of topics. Anything from music to metaphysics, religion, politics, conspiracies, ufology, the paranormal, you name it, we talk about it. And we don't just complain about it. We do our best to provide you with some solutions and alternative viewpoints of looking at what many refer to as the dark side of life on planet Earth. I have been following the news, and rather than go into news tonight, I'm going to save it for the TNT News Hour tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. I will be the host, as I am every Wednesday, of the TNT News Hour, and you'll hear news that you won't hear anywhere else in the world, especially on mainstream news, whether it's TV, radio, newspapers, you name it. So be sure to tune in for TNT News. Also, Don Newsom hosts the show during the week, and you want to check the schedules for any changes or updates or anything like that. Also, take a look at the TNT, what we call the Trusted News Trader, and that you will find on the index page at bbs.com under blog in service. It is the first listing underneath there. Click on that and it'll take you to a whole bunch of articles that you've probably not seen anywhere else. Links to videos, links to interviews, audio, a lot of good stuff. And with that, I'm going to move along. Now, tonight, March the 11th, it is March the 12th on the East Coast, by the way, and I always point that out to people in case anyone is looking at their calendar and they're anywhere in the Eastern time zone. Both tonight and tomorrow, our guest will be with us. Now, he hosts a show on BBS Radio, the Winfrey Conference Call Live, which is every Monday at 5:55 p.m. Pacific Time. That's 8:55 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. In addition, he is a co-host with Don Newsom, a BBS founder, on the Don and Win Show, which is a weekly show on Saturdays. And I've called into that show once or twice myself. It's a lot of fun. You get to hear Darth Vader's cousin, too. And if Don's listening, he's going to crack up. With that, we're going to bring a very interesting man on board tonight, and he will be with us again tomorrow night. He's got several incredible stories to share with you. He is an author of a book, and I'm familiar with the person this book is about, so this is going to be a very interesting show tonight. The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, with a question mark on the end. And he's working on another piece, which we will be talking about, if not tonight, definitely tomorrow night. And it's something that's consumed his life for a number of years, so this is not a light topic for discussion. This man is very gifted metaphysically. I've spoken to him at length, and I know that he's doing great things to bring peace and love and light to the world. And with that, I welcome to Evident Footprints tonight's guest, Mr. Wynn Free. Wynn, how are you this evening?
Hi, Don. It's nice to be here, and thank you so much for inviting me on your show and checking all my stuff out and being interested enough in letting me share it.
Well, you know, they say winning has a price, but I'm glad that at least... Win is free. So, little pun there.
No, as I studied yourself, I saw that you were, we're hearing car door slam, and we're just getting settled here. Well, as I told you, I was on the road, and we're now in a truck stop near Phoenix. So now
okay.
We're settled into the car. You know, you and I both have musical backgrounds, and...
Make sure you talk into your phone now because your volume dropped quite a bit.
Is that better?
Yes, that's much better. Okay.
Okay. We both have musical backgrounds. I thought of myself as a songwriter and a poet, and for many years of my life, I experienced something which I guess, I don't know if I had the right word for it, but that there was an overlay dimension on this one, and I experienced it as a musician, and I experienced it when I used to travel and hitchhike around the country, and I said, my God, everyone's living at a certain speed of reality, and there is a whole another speed of reality going on, which most people don't tap into,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was always trying to write songs that would kind of maybe educate people. Or not educate, because you can't educate it, but transmit through the music this other dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was studying metaphysical things, and it was all fitting together. And then, of course, I ended up authoring the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. So that was opening a door to something which... I almost can't believe the door that it opened, because it opened the door to the understanding of those intelligences in other dimensions that are very much reaching to help us in this dimension, and kind of causing me to become a portal or a bridge between that dimension and this dimension.
Mm-hmm. Or a conduit, you might say.
A conduit, yeah. And, you know, you've heard my story, and they gave me an amazing experience and story that doesn't require faith or dogma or something. Someone hears my story, they usually believe this guy's onto something, so... That's been my passion for the past few years, being the conduit, allowing myself to be a conduit for in between realms.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. Now, there's a tremendous amount of synchronicity here, and mm-hmm. This is for the listening audience that I point this out, if I can take a moment here just to share this with you. The fact that you and I are both on BBS Radio... that could be taken rather lightly. You wrote the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I had read all of Edgar Cayce's works and studied the man, and actually had some contact with the Association of Research and Enlightenment and Hugh Lynn Cayce a number of years ago in regard to experiences that I was having metaphysically. These were some pretty heavy experiences. And, you know, we're talking about intense spiritual manifestations and visions, and it makes one wonder if you're going nuts. But I knew when I read Edgar Casey's work that here was someone else who was experiencing some of the things I was experiencing. Now, not on the same level. Basically, he was a healer or an advisor to folks about illnesses, and he could read anyone anywhere on the planet. And I found out that was something that I could do as well. What I did with it, though, was a bit different because I ended up eventually channeling that into research. So I'm the musician wanting to share things with people about the discoveries I make in terms of everyday life. Of course, I would like to share my music with people, too. But whereas you see yourself as the writer or the investigator and this multidimensional musician, I'm the musician, multidimensional writer, talk show host.
We'll right.
So there's right. another synchronicity there. And then the fact that you know David Wilcock, and I became aware of David Wilcock, not just through your book, but also through Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy, who have conducted several interviews with David at length, and two people who are responsible for bringing many other people into my life, people who David knows as well, Michael St. Clair being one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a small place, really, when you get down to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting thing is David, of course, is the guy that I wrote the book about, being the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. And if you watch the Project Camelot videos, mostly David's talking about science and his experiences. And he opened the door for me to this huge paradigm of what I call interdimensional communication. And that, I think when most people hear the words interdimensional communication, it sounds like maybe you're talking to dead people or talking to people on the other side. But what I learned was that there are huge levels of, how do I describe this? The way that I put it is timelines. Wherever someone is right now, they are existing in the presence of other timelines in their physical space. There's multiple timelines stacked up in their physical location. And their physical body is only capable of registering the physical manifestations in this timeline. And the other timelines, though, affect us. There's beings in them. There's some of them the beings have bodies, some of them have flying saucers, some of them are very advanced and can actually move in and out of timelines and are in and out of dimensions and go from one place to another.
Are you still there, Wynn? Or did we lose him? I think we lost Wynn. Hopefully I'm still on the air, so I'm going to keep going. If I'm not on the air, send me a chat message. And I guess we lost Wynn, but we'll try to get him back. That happens sometimes when we're doing live radio. So I will we'll wait for Seth to get him back on. And hopefully, Seth, you're hearing this, so you can...
Don?
Okay, we got you back.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I'm holding my phone up high to make sure it doesn't go out of range. So, in any case, there's these multiple timelines stacked up on top of each other with all kinds of different beings in them, which I don't really talk to those beings in those timelines, but at the very highest level of the timelines, there's, you know, I remember years ago I heard spiritual people talk about something called the eternal now. And I didn't quite understand what that meant. But now I do. That's where the timelines stop. And that at the very beginning of the timelines, there are what I've learned to call group souls. And these group souls are the first breakoff from all that is into this realm. And it's those group souls that I believe I've been communicating with and that David Wilcock has been communicating with. And there's a whole manner of connection with them that it's just not just verbal communication. They are able to actually go through all the timelines and do miracles in this realm. They're able to communicate with many people telepathically. They're able to lift the vibration of this realm or assist in that. And that many people, through the recorded history of mankind, I believe it was these group souls who have done interventions in this realm and we thought of as God. And, the whole explanation was more sophisticated than the people were ready to hear it at a given time. So that was the easiest way to identify themselves. But now they're explaining it in a way that is very sophisticated. And I've had people read my book that said they used to be atheists, and now they're not anymore, because this makes sense. So it's a very exciting thing to be putting out into the world, this explanation of how the universe works and how God actually works, but not in the way that religion thinks of God, not in the way of thinking of a single consciousness that's sitting there and overlooking us and saying, you're good, you're bad, or we'll do a miracle for you. They've actually given a very comprehensive understanding of how they interact with this realm. And the good news is it teaches us how we can interact with them if we choose to. And they're kind of making connection with people through the work I'm doing.
One of the things that I learned early on in seeking to understand the gifts that I had, when I began to discover that not everyone was exercising those gifts, but that I learned that we all have the potential to have those gifts. In other words, they're dormant in many people. One of the things I learned is that as one progresses further up in vibration, let's say as the vibration increases in frequency, there's less of a need, and I use that word with a bit of hesitation because of the true meaning of the word, but there's, less of a requirement of a physical structure. The higher you go in the vibration, the less likely you are to hold on to physical things. Mm-hmm. And so the higher knowledge is kept away from those who are in the denser physical realities. Usually those people are the ones that are creating all the pandemonium and chaos on the planet in terms of Earth or any other planet where there is a warlike, murderous type of society, whether it's planetary or whether it's just something akin to a particular country or maybe an ethnic group, and I'm not singling out ethnic groups. I'm just saying that some people tend to be more warlike because of traditions and certain third density or third dimensional densities that are associated with their physical reality in a three-dimensional world. As you move up higher, you're going to progress. In other words, the higher vibration, with that comes higher knowledge, and there's a universal law that protects that information from being given to those that would misuse it, despite the fact that there are still those striving to achieve that knowledge. for nefarious purposes, in other words. So in reading what you had written about the Elohim and the connections you were making, I saw how you were testing the source of the information, and yet I recognized the answers, I recognized where they were coming from, but the way you handled it was with integrity. You wanted to make sure that this was not coming from any electronic source or anyone feigning to be someone other than who they really were.
Right.
So that's what integrity is about, and I have to compliment your approach to doing that.
Well, thank you. You know, I felt that, I feel and felt that this is a huge responsibility to put this out into the world, and I wanted to be as certain as possible that I was not making a mistake. I became aware that there are negative sources out there, and that how do you tell a negative source from a positive source? How do I know who's, you know, we haven't really shared how this started for me, and we probably should go back in reverse and tell people how it all began. But before we do, let me just say that, you know, there's voices talking to me through the people around me and in what is conventionally called channeling.
Okay, and make sure you stay close to your phone.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's a little better. Okay.
Okay. So when a voice is talking to you, and you're given permission to ask questions, how do you know they're positive? How do you know they are who they say they are? How do you know you can trust them? And how do you know it's going to benefit other people to share this? You know, those were all the questions I had for quite some time. Because otherwise, it would be just a phenomena. And, you know, it's interesting to report a phenomena, and yes, you can get people to pay attention to phenomena, but how do you know it's good? So, mm-hmm. I tested them very much, and finally came to the conclusion that they had to be who they said they were, and that it was very important to bring this out to other people, so that other people, in fact, I always introduce this and say, please don't believe anything I say. Draw your own conclusions. Read the material and use your own discernment. And anyone that's listening, you know, that questions and answers with the Elohim book, is going to be my next book that's going to be released. But right now, anyone that requests it, I'll send them the ebook version of it for free. So anyone can email me at winfree@yahoo.com, winfree@yahoo, and just request the questions and answers with the Elohim, and I'll send it along. So, I wasn't sure how other people were going to react to it. It was a little, you know, very, I don't want to say scary, but anticipating when I first put it out into the world, because what if other people don't think it's positive? Or what if people think I'm making it up? So it's always wonderful when somebody is sophisticated as yourself and as aware and connected as yourself acknowledges from their own levels that it's touched them.
Now, one thing that struck me, and this bears pointing out too, you're receiving the communications. And you had been from, I guess you were a couple of years into writing the Edgar Cayce book,
mm-hmm.
and I should say the David Wilcock book, really. But
right.
And then they started speaking through Terry first, and then
actually through Daphne,
or is it Daphne first, and then Terry, right. And then Daphne again?
I mean, you know, I'll go back and review how that all started, and that was. I was writing for a metaphysical magazine, and I had discovered David Wilcock's website in probably 1999. And as I studied his website, I said, geez, if this guy's telling the truth, he has to be Edgar Cayce. So I interviewed him for the magazine I was writing for, And the editor was very skeptical at first, but after she read the interview, she immediately contacted me and said, Lynn, you're right, he is Edgar Casey, and I think you're the guy that's supposed to write the book about it. Well, I had never written a book. Up to then, I had written some articles, and I was written poems, and I'd written songs, and I didn't even know if I could write a book. But as I studied David's site and read his readings, I said, man, this is going to be the most important thing I ever did in my life. And I came to the conclusion that who was speaking through David was this group soul that was composed of graduates of this realm. Now, some people, the idea of reincarnation may not be something they believe or consider, and I don't think you should believe anything until you make it your own and do your own research or have your own experience. But in my own case, I was sure that reincarnation was real. I had personal experiences and validations that convinced me. And I had studied Edgar Casey, and of course, Edgar Casey could tell people who their past lives were. And many, many researchers went and studied his readings, and they would find people that were buried in a town that were the same name that Edgar Casey said someone was in their past life. There were many, many indications. So if reincarnation is real, then what is the big picture? What is life about? And it was unfolding as I studied David Wilcock's work that we reincarnate thousands of times or more in this realm, and eventually we graduate as if we learn the lessons that this realm is meant to teach us. And when you graduate, you now, one of the destinations, not the only one, but one of the destinations for graduates is to join this group soul that is composed of millions or billions of individual souls who no longer have bodies and are just pure energy, and kind of the way they describe it, think of us like an amoeba in your universe that can spread out and come into your realm when we're called on. And this group soul says that they exist to help planets and planetary populations at lower levels of evolution, like us. And as I was studying it, it became clear to me that this group soul was one of those sources that we have thought of as God throughout our history. And we're responsible for many of the religions and spiritual teachings throughout the history of mankind. Now, as I say this, I want to just say again that I don't expect people to believe me just because I say it. I would hope that they might be challenged to see, just in case I'm right, they ought to read the book and see if it hangs together for them. Because if it does, we are getting this guidance from this group soul for this present period of time we're in, and this is very precious information, because we're going through a period that is unlike any other period in the history of mankind. And they are explaining the significance of this period. But I will go into that later, what they're saying. The thing is here I am writing this book and putting out the words of this group soul, which goes by the name the Ra Group. And 2 years into writing it, I meet Daphne, and we're taking up with each other and taking a drive, and we're actually going from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon, and it was pouring rain, and we did a prayer of protection, and at the end of the prayer, I asked, so does anybody want to talk to me? And she starts talking and apparently channeling on the spot. And I thought she was making it up, but when we had a conversation for about 10 minutes, and she said that was a very strange thing. She didn't know what it was, and neither did I. And so we continued to Portland, and a couple of days later, we did it again. and they came through again. And I just decided at that point that I was going to test this. I don't know who's talking to me. I'm not sure I can trust them. But they didn't seem negative, but nonetheless, what do I know? So at that beginning stage, I asked the question. I said, maybe my girlfriend is crazy. Maybe she's schizophrenic. And I asked if they could predict a newspaper headline. And then they did. They said, here's a headline, and watch for this in 2 weeks. And this is Memorial Day weekend of 2002, and that headline occurred. So now I know I've got something real that I'm talking with. And for the next 6 months, I'm asking every question about all the premises of the book, of this end of a cycle, this dimensional shift. And they are giving me exactly the same answers as I was writing in the book. And I was really going nuts over this. I said, man, maybe I've got it right, because a lot of the, as we go into this, a lot of this sounds like science fiction. I mean, what the Ra group was saying through David sounds like science fiction. If somebody wrote a science fiction novel and they wrote this up, I'd say, what an imagination they have. And yet they're presenting something as truth. And now I'm asking the same questions to Daphne, and I'm getting the same answers. And the voice that was talking to me through Daphne identified itself by the name the Council of Elohim. So I did a Google search on the word Elohim, and I found definitions like the God of the Old Testament, the Creator God of this realm. And I asked them, are you the same Elohim? And they said, we're part of the same. And then I said, why me? And they said, you're like a cosmic midwife. You know how to bring these things out into the world. And apparently I had other lifetimes where I've done something similar, although, you know, nothing like this has ever even approached my experience this lifetime. So I'm still skeptical, really. I'm being open to the possibilities, but I was not about to go out to the world and wave a flag and say, hey, I'm talking to the Creator God of this realm. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I was writing the book, and I said, if I start doing that, I'll never get my book published, and no one will take me seriously, because it's so wild to be writing the book and then having that personal experience. And the Elohim, as I questioned them, explained that they were a group soul, but by and large, they had not experienced physical embodiment. They had never come into this dimension. They were the first break-off from all that is that actually created the physical realm. And they hung back to create a holding of energy in the other dimensions. And at one time they said to prevent all of this realm from falling and sliding into total darkness. So now there's this amazing story of how things work in higher dimensions, where there's these two huge group souls, one that's never come into this realm that was part of original creation, and the other that's made up of graduates of this realm that have gone through thousands of lifetimes, not just on our planet, but on other planets, and now help planets at lower levels, where beings are still stuck here, to get out of this realm and graduate. So that's a pretty amazing thing to be explaining to our planet.
Yes. Now, if I may make a comment now, there are those that are going to say, well, I don't believe in that. And they're entitled, you know, we're going to make a distinction between belief and knowledge, I think, is where we're headed, number one.
I don't think people should believe it. I mean, I say this over and over again, and as I describe this, I don't want people to believe me. I want them to check it out. Because there, between David's story and my story, there are so many phenomena tying things together, and the things that actually happened that put together maybe that this is the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
And but everyone's welcome. You know, quite frankly, if you are one of those people that use the word God and you get an answer, and you're feeling something fills you up and is working with you, when you say the word God, then please keep doing it, because this is, from my paradigm, this is just another name for the same thing. In one hand, we talk about a group soul, but a group soul means that there's a lot of individual things that are operating in oneness. They can come together and be totally one, or they can separate and be separated. They can assign subsets to different areas. And so it's just a highly sophisticated way of looking at the idea of God.
Sure. And there, you know, there are people that believe in angels. Some people pray to angels. And in some aspects of Christianity, there's a saint, there's an angel for every malady that afflicts mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And if people were to wonder what angels do when people aren't praying to them, I would suggest that they're not sitting around waiting for the next Greyhound bus. They've got important work that they're doing. Now, I've seen angels, and I've talked with Jesus, and I've been influenced by the Holy Spirit, and I've heard God's voice. Now, not everyone can say that. In fact, there are a lot of people that say that never have had that experience, but I'm aware of that presence in my life, and it's very easy for me to recognize what you're describing now, as well as what I've read that you've written. So this mm-hmm. isn't a wild imagination here. And mm-hmm. God will use any means to communicate a message to mankind that he chooses.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do it through people. He can do it through his angels. He can do it through the Holy Spirit. He can do it through animals. He can do it through nature. He can use the planets and the stars to do it. There's all kinds of ways. And who are we to determine whether or not that's a valid way to communicate to someone?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had an experience in 1982. You mentioned if you've ever said God, or, you know, if you've ever used the name God. And I've shared this with other guests on past shows, where I was approached by a friend. He had come to my apartment, and he was quite despondent. His fiancée broke up with him. She fell in love with another man, and he wanted to end his life. And I'd never talked anyone out of committing suicide, but he was a private investigator, and I knew he had a gun, and I knew he always carried a gun with him, and I knew him well enough to see it on his face that he intended to end his life. And I just reached down within myself, and somehow the answers came. I said the right things to him. At one point, when I mentioned Jesus and God, I began having visions. I had my own experience from what I was doing for him, and it was almost as if that was to be the event that would convince him that what I was saying was true. And this was a 48-hour experience, nonstop. And he saw the visions. And there were some friends that came to visit. He had come unexpectedly, and these friends were to come over for lunch, you know, and we were going to listen to some music and talk about a project that we were working on. And so all these people, four other people, saw these visions on the wall. It was as if the wall became a movie screen.
Mm-hmm.
And there were predictions, there were prophecies that appeared in these visions. And it took me some time, it took me a few years to understand everything that happened, but everything came true. And it was my first near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this vision was a warning. Of course, it wasn't until it was all over that I could look back at the vision and understand all the symbology. But trust me, the next time that that happens, I know. I know what it's about. I know what's behind it. Now, how do you explain that to someone who's never had a vision? How do you explain that to someone that doesn't understand metaphysics and spirituality and the unseen, and how the unseen can manifest itself through the physical? It does it in a different way. Trust me, there were things that you couldn't put into a movie script that were occurring. Okay, and it was not a demonic event by any means. It was an eye-opening experience, but it was very, very spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I've never forgotten that, nor have I forgotten the gifts that I was given at the time this occurred. So it doesn't matter what anyone teaches, anyone preaches to a group of people who are giving them money every week. You could not have an experience like that through another person. It had to be something of God that created it. Mm-hmm. A much, much higher consciousness was at work.
And, you know, when you have an experience like that, you know, the question I've had to ask myself is, what do I want to impart to another person, and why do I want to impart it, okay? If I have this exalted experience, or some people might think it's exalted, of having these communications of voices talking to me, and perhaps these voices might have been the creators of this realm, what good is it for me to share that with another person? There has to be a way to benefit someone else, because otherwise what happens is people think, well, he's having that, but I'm not having that, so I'm separated. Why is he special? Maybe he's not special. Maybe he's bringing through something negative. You know, however what people think, there has to be a benefit for another person to hear this. So since we're talking to people, I want to share my perspective of what the benefit is. And that is that there's through looking at the material that I'm putting out, there's definitely a kind of proof that all of this is real for those who study it. Not because I say so. There's too much phenomena, too much amazing synchronicities, too much, far deeper than I can go through on this show. But aside, you know, even if somebody walks away and believes it's true, and they say, hey, this guy Wynn is talking to the Elohim, or David Wilcock is Edgar Cayce, or David Wilcock is channeling Ra, we're only scratching the surface of something here. That is just the beginning. That is not the end, it's the beginning. Because what I am learning is that in the multidimensional world, it's possible for you who is listening, to make connection with these energies. You may not hear voices and you may not get verbal connections, but they can project, the way they describe it, they can project into this realm as light, love, energy. And that they do not violate free will, so you have to ask for that. And what is light, love, energy? It's an upliftment of the vibration in your space. And that is something that many people can feel, but they have to look for it, and they have to perhaps have somebody set an example of how that feels. That's one of the reasons I do the conference calls so often, because I said, I need to create a venue or an opportunity for people who want to connect with these energies where they can. And that then what happens is you have this connection with this energy that is actually got an intelligence on the other side of it, and that wants to be your friend and wants to be supportive of you. But you have to reach towards it and prove that it's real. And that's what I think is the greatest, one of the great values of the work I'm presenting. Another value is that as we learn to ground these energies through us and put them into the earth, we change the vibration of the space around us. Each of us has the potential to do that. And when you change the vibration, you uplift other people. Whether they know the story or not, whether they believe in God or not, everyone is sensitive to uplifted vibrations. It's like everybody loves a lover. And if you're lucky enough to be in love, then you know that when you're in love, people love to be around you. You hold a high energy, a high vibration. Well, we all have the potential to hold a higher vibration than we do. And if enough people hold a high vibration and they change the people around them, we now start changing our planet to the world that we've always dreamed of, where there's love. And, of course, this has been done in small ways in isolated places. You go to isolated spiritual communities where somebody is holding a high vibration and everyone comes in there, picks up on that vibration, and there's suddenly loving connection between people. And so part of the advantage to someone who can connect with these group soul energies is that they are going to feel more love and radiate more love into their space.
Mm-hmm. You know, what comes to mind while you're speaking, Wynn, is that my understanding and my discernment tells me that we are entering a phase in the history of mankind that has never been experienced here on this earth, and that the methods that are going to be used to assist us in raising our vibration, as you're describing, and taking us into love and light and truth and peace and joy are going to be different from the methods that have been used in the past. Those have worked for some, but a handful in comparison to the 6.5 billion people on the planet right now. There are 6.5 billion people on the planet, probably 4.5 billion who are targeted to be wasted by the dark forces, just exterminated so that they can control a handful and turn them into slaves. Now, at the same time, there's this ascension going on in the totality of mankind. Anyone is open to, or anyone can get a ticket, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a certain protocol that they have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to realize that this is an illusion right now on this planet. This reality has been created by others for the purpose of controlling us, and it's not who we are. And it's not who we came here to be, nor who we were intended to be by our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an opportunity to elevate ourselves in terms of our vibration or our consciousness. And the methods, the means through which that's going to occur is going to be different from what has been written in books and preached to people over and over and over again, just as the New Testament absolved the Old Testament. Why did Jesus come here?
Do you know why it's different, Don? Do you know specifically why this period is different? Because this is like something that they have explained in great detail to me.
Yes, and go ahead and explain it. That's why you're on the show.
Well, there's the whole universe is composed of vibration. And some metaphysicians have called this the unified field. Every spiritual tradition has a name for this vibration of God, so to speak, that radiates through the universe. So the Christians call it Holy Spirit. The Hindus call it Prana. There's Shakti. There's Chi. It's an energy that is not recognized by science. And yet, all of us, most of us, everyone listening probably has heard the word vibe. And they could say, geez, I walked into the room and it had good vibes or it had bad vibes. That's the energy we're talking about. And that energy radiates from the center of our universe, and then it has a relay station in the center of our galaxy called the Hunapku, and then it radiates through the galaxy, through us, and into the Earth. And it's the precursor to the physical universe. And according to the information that I've been getting from these group soul consciousnesses, independently from two of them, this energy has peaks in it. And the peaks come approximately every 75,000 years. And right now, we are in a peak of that energy. And in fact, the Mayan calendar end of December of 2012 is the highest peak of energy of the 75,000-year cycle. So we are now in this huge flood of energy radiating on our planet. And this energy is causing physical changes, it's causing weather changes, it's causing changes on every planet in our solar system that are scientifically measurable. And in the past, this energy was not available to the concentration that it is now. In the past, you had to build a pyramid to concentrate the energies to come close to the energies that are impacting the planet right now. Now, you know, historically in Egypt, the pyramid was an initiation chamber for people to experience this lifted energy. And right now, those people that can open up their own receptors can directly experience this energy, and it's going to lift their vibration and speed up their evolution in a way that was never possible in the history of mankind. But you have to start opening up to it. And you have to start looking for that vibration. One of the problems with many people is they can't go from their thoughts and their mind and their thinking and their belief systems to the opening up to vibration like this. And that's one of the reasons that I do my conference calls, because on the conference calls there's kind of a training of how to open up to these vibrations, and people are getting it. The people are having amazing experiences who are checking into the conference calls regularly. And I'm not the only guy doing this. There's many, many people around the planet that know what I know, that have made their own communications and had enough validation to know that it's real and are doing similar things. Mm-hmm. But it's important for somebody to find a person or a group that is working this higher energy, because it gives them far more chance of integrating it directly themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's true, and that's been my experience. Now, I've had a gift from an early age, and it's progressed throughout my life, and I've become more understanding and more aware of what the source of that gift is, and I have also come into contact with people like yourselves, people who were devoted to healing, people who were devoted to love and light and peace and harmony, and those are the qualities again that are predominant in that energy you're talking about. That's already here, but coming in greater quantities. So I'm in total agreement with you on that.
And I would suggest that you're one of those people that hold a higher vibration, and that people that tune into your show regularly probably are lifting their own vibrations just as a result of tuning into you.
Well, I have to keep it down so that I stay on the network.
Right, right. You know, I'll tell you, sometimes when it gets too high, you blow the fuses of the network. The computers start blowing their circuits and things.
Well, that's why we talk about politics a couple of times a week.
Right.
Make sure we hold it down.
Right. So, you know, tomorrow we can focus in on what this cycle end means, because there's important aspects to it that are not, you know, some of the things that we can see that are physically measurable are one thing, but there's other aspects to it that are not physically measurable and that are far more important. And what people don't know is that the decisions they make over the next few years will have more impact on their future lifetimes than anything ever before. And people should try to understand the nature of these decisions, because most of us are floundering around blindly and don't understand that. You know, the illusion down here is that we just have bodies and it's just a physical world and it's dog eat dog, and if I win, it's okay. If you lose, it doesn't matter. There's no repercussions. But there are, because there's something called karma, and that this is the time right now to free yourself of that thing called karma, which is one way of looking at karma is the way that your own energy field is distorted as a result of the things you've done in your past lifetimes that are still being held in it, that are keeping it trapped. And learning how to untrap and free your own energy field so that you can participate in this divine flow of energy that is available right now to a greater degree than it ever has been in the history of mankind.
Mm-hmm. And for those, if I might add, for those who are up in the air about the possibility, the concept of reincarnation, you can apply karma to this lifetime. It's not just tied to past lives, but it's this lifetime. And then,
you know,
if you look... Go ahead.
I was going to say, if the people are listening that have a traditional religious perspective, where I guess the traditional Christian perspective is, this life is all there is. You either make it or you don't. And then if you make it, you go to heaven. And if you don't, you're forever damned to hell, right? And
mm-hmm.
when you die, there's no more. Well, I came to the conclusion long ago that if that's really the way that it worked, then whoever put this together and was God had really screwed up, because you would take a person that would live in a bad neighborhood with bad parents and no love when they were growing up, and compare a person who came from a good family and a loving family and maybe had a little more money to provide comforts. And those two people are not going to have the same chance of growing up to be loving, spiritual people. Now, of course, people always break the rules, and somebody that comes from the good parents is going to turn bad, and someone's going to comes from the bad parents is going to turn good. But more than likely, people are a product of their environment. And if there was a just God, why would he design a system that's so unfair?
Well, not only that, though, why would he give us free will only to punish us for using it in the end?
Exactly. So, you know, the idea of reincarnation, I mean, you know, there's probably three major choices. One is, this is all there is, and your body, you're just a physical animal with a body, and when you die, you don't exist anymore. The other is that, you know, the religious point of view is when you die, you know, depending on the merits of your life, you go to heaven or to hell. And the other is that when you die, your spirit continues, and it keeps choosing more and more experiences in this realm in order to learn the lessons of this realm. If you look at this realm and you look at the disparity of consciousnesses of people, there's certain people that are very simple and certain people that are very advanced. How could someone go from being a very simple person to a very advanced person in one life? They can't. So there's a lot of lessons to be learned here. And I didn't talk about it, but I can share some of it, you know, maybe tomorrow, how I became convinced that reincarnation was real. You know, tomorrow, maybe, I'm not promising this, but maybe one of my friends who channels may show up, and maybe they'll give a message to the listening audience. And so I hope your listeners will tune in case that happens, because that's kind of a special occurrence.
Mm-hmm. Now, I might throw out there that, you know, the ladies are highly impressed with someone like yourself that is so sensitive spiritually. Ladies, there's a price that comes along with courtship, with win, and that's you have to be willing to become a channel. At least that's been his experience the last few girlfriends, right?
Actually, somebody said that I had the best line they ever heard, but the truth of the matter is I'm pretty committed. I'm in a pretty committed relationship. And
I just had to make a joke.
Well, thank you.
Okay, well, Wynn, we're already out of time. This has been very interesting, and I'm looking forward to your second half of this interview tomorrow evening. And I want to thank you for allowing me to throw my two cents in, and I'm going to give you more time tomorrow night. I may have some questions myself. So
well, please do, and maybe we'll even have some questions and bring them up. And if we have a channeling, if they're really sophisticated questions, we can get some channeled answers to them. So it's
okay
for me. And Don, I really thank you for inviting me and giving me the space to speak, you know, without having to censor myself. I know I'm talking about controversial subjects. So, and I repeat again, for those people that are hearing this for the first time, please get my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, ? It's available at Amazon. It's available at Borders and Barnes & Noble. It's also available through our own, what do they call it, distribution house. And if you get it through Pathway, you get a free CD of a talk I gave introducing this to people. Their phone number is 800-345-NOOK. And they're answering the phone tomorrow. And the questions and answers with the Elohim, which will be my next book, I urge people to take me up on the opportunity and just email me a request, and I'll email it back to you as an attachment. And it's still not edited. It's still rough, but it has some amazing answers to how this group soul, the Elohim, actually connects with this realm. And for many people, they're actually making a connection with the Elohim when they read the book. So it's free. Please take me up on my offer and request it.
Okay. I want to encourage everybody to do that. I've been reading it, and it's captivating, to say the least. And Wynn, I'm going to ask you if you'll someday introduce me to your good friend, Brian Holland.
Do you know Brian?
I know his music. Well, Holland Dozier and Holland.
Yep. Well, next time we have lunch together, I'll give you a call and have you say, he's pretty shy, actually.
Well, but I'm shy too, so that'll be two shy guys.
All right. So,
all right.
Thank you again, and I wish everyone a really blessed and peaceful evening.
Okay, you too, Wynn. Thanks for being on the show, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night. Folks, okay. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Our guest tonight was Mr. Wynn Free, and he will be joining us again tomorrow evening at the same time, same place, same station, BBSRadio.com. In the meantime, I want to invite you again as a reminder to listen in to the TNT NewsHour, 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. That's Wednesday afternoon, tomorrow. So in the meantime, peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
Futurist Gordon Michael Scallion, and you're listening to BBS
Radio.com.
Hi, Peggy Lee Quayler here. Hey, thanks for listening to Stories Untold on BBS. And you can visit my website at cdbaby.com/cd/Peggy Lee with an A. You can purchase copy there or